Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
At least 40 people are dead, many more injured and thousands displaced in clashes in Sudan's Darfur region. The death toll from floods and landslides in Indonesia and East Timor passes 120 as aid agencies swing into action to help those who have lost everything. And Peru's bishops issue an appeal for upcoming presidential elections that they may respect the rules and set the ground for integral development. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. At least 40 people have been killed in the West Darfur region of Sudan after days of ethnic clashes. According to the United Nations, many more were injured when violence broke out in the city of El Geneina. Nathan Morley reports.
The clashes near the border with Chad have prompted the government to declare a state of emergency and deploy troops to the area to try and restore peace. Fighting among members of the Arabi Rizigat and the Masalid tribes began after armed men shot two people and wounded two others in the Masalid tribe. The exact circumstances of the shootings, though, are not immediately clear. However, gunfire exchanges between the two tribes continued into Monday, with reports suggesting that at least 58 people have been wounded. Conflicts erupted into war back in 2003 in the region, claiming over 250,000 lives and displacing millions of people. Sudan is currently in the midst of a rocky transitional period following the toppling of the longtime president Omar Bashir back in April 2019. That came off the back of mass protests against his rule. The transitional government has pushed to build peace with rebel groups in the main conflict zones, including the Darfur area. International peacekeepers began pulling out earlier this year, and the Sudanese government said that a new joint peacekeeping force, mandated under the agreement, would be able to protect civilians. However, more than 200 people were killed in clashes in January, in some of the worst bloodshed in the region in many years. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And eight people have been killed by gunmen in eastern Burkina Faso, an area that has seen frequent attacks by Islamic militants. Three police officers and five members of a voluntary self-defense militia died after reportedly coming under attack in Gourma province late on Monday. In response to the rising number of attacks by Islamist militants, as well as intercommunal clashes, the government in Burkina Faso decided to arm civilians over a year ago to help protect towns and villages. In February, the government said it was open to holding talks with Islamist militants. Devastating floods and landslides triggered by Cyclone Saroya that struck a cluster of islands in southeast Indonesia and in Timor-Leste on Easter Sunday have killed at least 120 people. Caritas and other agencies have swung into action to reach out to the survivors. Robin Gomes reports.
Rescuers were searching on Tuesday for dozens of people still missing after floods and landslides swept away villages in eastern Indonesia and in the neighboring Catholic-majority nation of Timor-Leste or East Timor. At least 120 people have been reported dead in the two countries, with thousands displaced. 2 days of torrential rains from tropical cyclone Saroja destroyed houses, public facilities, communications, roads and bridges, and turned villages and small communities into wastelands of mud, sending about 10,000 people fleeing to shelters across the two Southeast Asian nations. Indonesia's disaster management agency, BNPB, had earlier reported 128 dead and 72 missing. However, on Tuesday, it revised down the death toll to 86, while raising the number of missing to 98. The agency blamed the discrepancy on miscommunication with local agencies. BNP said that with good weather on Tuesday, the military and volunteers arrived on the affected islands and were setting public kitchens while medical workers were brought in. Father Thomas Labina from Larantuka Diocese in East Flores said hundreds of houses were buried in mudslides and hit three sub-districts. On nearby Lembata Island, at least 85 people died and 11 were missing after cold lava flows from the local volcano hit four sub-districts, the priest said. In Adunara, electricity and transport links were cut in many areas, leaving the diocese unable to communicate with priests or laypeople and hampering efforts to distribute aid. Caritas Indonesia Karina said it was working with several local offices in four dioceses of the affected region. Father Freddy Rante Taruk, the executive director of Caritas Indonesia, said they were coordinating with the dioceses impacted by the disaster. Aid will be distributed as quickly as possible, he told UCA News. I am Robin Gomes.
The global COVID-19 death toll on Tuesday exceeded 3 million amid a resurgence of new infections. There is growing concern that infectious variants are to blame for the rise despite vaccination campaigns, as Lydia O'Kane reports.
Another grim milestone was passed on Tuesday in the battle against COVID-19. Latest figures show that worldwide coronavirus-related deaths crossed the 3 million mark. What's worrying about this tally is that it took over a year for the death toll to reach 2 million, whereas it took only 3 months for another million to be added to this long list of coronavirus victims. Despite vaccination campaigns, COVID-19 infections are on the rise, with health officials laying the blame at more infectious variants that were first detected in the UK and South Africa. But they also say public fatigue with lockdowns and other restrictions are having a knock-on effect. One country which is a cause for concern is Brazil, with the World Health Organization saying the country is in a very critical condition with an overwhelmed healthcare system. India too reported a record rise in COVID-19 infections on Monday, becoming the second nation after the United States to report more than 100,000 new cases in a day. The spotlight is also on the European region, which includes 51 countries and has the highest total number of deaths at nearly 1.1 million. Under the microscope are five European countries, including the United Kingdom, Russia, France, Italy and Germany, which make up around 60% of Europe's total COVID-related deaths. Topping the list of coronavirus deaths is the United States, which has the highest number of any country in the world at 555,000. On the vaccine front, at least 370.3 million people around the world had received a single dose of the COVID-19 vaccine by Sunday. But as the vaccine campaign continues, the World Health Organization is calling on countries to donate more doses of approved COVID-19 vaccines to poor countries in order to help them meet vaccination targets. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
The United States has joined talks in Vienna aimed at reviving the Iran nuclear deal, which the Trump administration abandoned in 2018. President Joe Biden has said he wants to return to the landmark accord. But the six remaining state parties need to find a way for him to lift the sanctions imposed by his predecessor and for Iran to return to the agreed limits on its nuclear program. Iran has said it will not meet the U.S. face-to-face until that happens. Together with the delegations from Iran and the United States, the other world powers present in Vienna for the talks are China, France, Germany, Russia and the UK. European officials are acting as intermediaries. In the run-up to Sunday's general election, the Catholic bishops of Peru are urging political parties to respect electoral rules and ethical commitments, as well as the official results of the vote. Thaddeus Jones reports.
The COVID-19 pandemic has ravaged the Latin American country's economy, and political turmoil during the past year has been rife amid corruption allegations against former President Martin Vizcarra. Recent polls show as many as 30% of Peruvians will vote blank next Sunday when polls open to choose a new president and Congress. In a letter to the faithful and to the country's political institutions, the bishops of the overwhelmingly Catholic country note that in the past 5 years, democracy has been seriously undermined by the succession of four presidents and two Congresses. The situation, they say, has not allowed the country to pursue integral development, consolidate democratic institutions, and deal effectively with a pandemic that's causing much suffering in the country. Echoing Pope Francis' call for ethical politics, Peru's prelates underscore how politics must be oriented towards the common good. care for those most in need, engagement with the most vulnerable populations in the pursuit of dialogue, justice, reconciliation, and service to others in order to guarantee the fundamental rights of each person. They point out that impartiality is demanded of the competent authorities, as is the need to be informed of the official election results quickly and reliably in order to dispel existing doubts and avoid confusion and polarization for the sake of the country's stability. Finally, inviting all to respect health safety protocols, they appeal directly to all citizens to exercise their democratic right and duty with responsibility, because the future, they say, is in their hands. With almost 1,600,000 COVID-19 infections and more than 53,000 deaths, Peru is among several Latin American countries struggling to contain a recent surge in infections against the backdrop of a critically stretched health infrastructure. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Tanzania's new president today announced that bans slapped on a number of media outlets by her predecessor, who died last month, are now to be lifted. President Samia Suluhu Hassan was speaking during the swearing-in of new ministers and permanent secretaries. She also hinted at major changes in the country's response to the COVID-19 pandemic, announcing plans for an expert task force to advise government on anti-coronavirus measures. And the president mentioned a major potential changes in the country's foreign policy, directing the new foreign affairs minister to set about mending international relations and saying no country can walk alone. Cooperation is the only way. And finally, the church in Ethiopia, through its Social and Development Commission, is working hard to provide much-needed support to people in need. Father Benedict Mayagi has the story.
In Ethiopia, amid socioeconomic challenges further exacerbated by the COVID-19 health emergency, locust infestations and conflict in some regions, the church is committed to come to the aid of those who have become vulnerable due to the massive negative impact of these situations. Last year alone, the church implemented 189 social and development projects in different parts of the country worth about 2.5 billion birr, which is approximately $6 million. A statement issued by the Bishops' Conference of Ethiopia on Monday explained that the church's projects in 2020 were presented by an external auditor at the General Annual Assembly of the Ethiopian Catholic Church Social and Development Commission held on the 31st of March. For this year, 2021, the church also plans to implement projects worth 2.8 billion birr, which is approximately $6.7 million, to benefit more than 7 million citizens in the country. For months, a conflict between the government and Ethiopia's northern Tigray region has cost thousands of lives and displaced hundreds of thousands more. Even before the hostilities, the country had been facing a deteriorating socioeconomic situation because of the ongoing health emergency. The bishop said in their statement that to further complement the efforts directly implemented by the Social and Development Commission, the church in the country has raised over 40 million birr, which is approximately $969,000, from international donor partners in response to the pandemic emergencies. These funds were used to purchase and distribute foods, non-food items, and COVID-19 protective equipment for staff working in Catholic health institutions. The church has also raised over 80 million birr, which is $1.9 million, and is providing financial and food assistance to people affected by conflicts and war. At the same time, the church has assisted other victims of war to the tune of 1 billion birr, which is $24.2 million, in food and non-food items, water trenching, and health assistance. Finally, the bishops took advantage of the opportunity presented by the statement to reiterate calls for an end to the conflict and for all parties to embrace dialogue. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us again tomorrow at this same time for more. You can also follow us on our web portal, on Facebook and on Twitter. My thanks go to Gustavo Messina in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.